Phil and Kyle start a podcast, and Rudy Gobert comes to town. Hardly a coincidence, it's Flagrant Howls with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe.
Oh, you guys are going to be wildly disappointed because no, we do not have Craig Kilborn again this week, unfortunately. So if that's a deal breaker for anyone out there, we apologize. Maybe we can get Craig on again sometime, but that was a blast last week, and the feedback that you guys, the audience, have given us has been awesome. So we'll definitely try and get him on again to sling some Wolves takes, Kyle.
I think people would have been okay him replacing one of us or both of us as just the host,
like a host roulette. Yeah,
Craig Kilborn talking Wolves. No, that was great, and I'm sure you could tell last week he loves, like, he's knowledgeable too, dropping stats every, you know, once in a while. So he'll be back on this season. We'll need him after like a winning streak or maybe a losing streak.
Yeah, we initially kind of agreed, yeah, let's, you know, 20 minutes, get you on for 20 minutes, tell some stories, sling some takes. And he kind of set off microphone, you know, I don't exactly have a Kevin O'Connell packed schedule, Sean McVay packed schedule. So I think he was kind of pining for, really, you're only giving me 20 minutes. So we extended. But yeah, welcome in Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. If you haven't already given us a 5-star rating and a raving review on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate if you would help do that, help spread the word about the show and the community of desperate Timberwolves fans that we are all a part of here. And if you could click subscribe on the Score North YouTube channel, that would also help spread the word about the show. So here's our mission for today, Kyle. We are going to build an all-time Timberwolves 15-man roster. You could view this on one hand as the best 15 players in Wolves history, but I think the way that we should do this is we are constructing a roster with everyone eligible from Timberwolves past and present with the goal of building the best team for winning games. So, like, I don't want to give too much away here, but the Wolves tend to have more big men in franchise history of note, yep, than maybe wing players. But we might not be able to have 6 big men, for instance, on this roster, or maybe we can. It's all part of the process. We're looking to build an actual roster that would make sense to go out and win games with in 2022, I guess, which might throw another wrench into it because there might be some long 2-point jump shooters. We'll talk our way through some of this. But are you ready? Are you excited for this exercise?
I am. I'm glad you prefaced it by that, because when you see some of the guys, they're like, I did a depth chart and like I was busy in Excel making a spreadsheet. So, yeah, like my third stringers are recognizable names, but guys like that are going to be okay catching DNPs, right? So all this, a back end clue is like the 15th guy on my roster is Taj Gibson. So we'll go the other way and start with starters. Man, but like I wanted hilarious guys that are good teammates that are, you know, just want to win. So, but I do have a question to you. So you wrote down your list, right?
I have 5 different categories of candidates.
Okay.
And then I have a starting 5 and again, this is all subject to change as I mm-hmm. discuss it with you. But I have my preliminary starting 5 and bench 10.
Okay, that's cool. Let's start with the starting 5 then, because that's kind of how I did it too. And then I have backups for
okay
each position.
So can I give you, because I think what we'll wind up doing here is we'll probably throw a bunch of players out. I want to give you the categories. Let's talk about how we went about tackling the sorting process, and then okay we can get into the creation of the roster. So I started with just who is basically the Mount Rushmore of best Timberwolves players of all time. So just okay the guys that are on the team, regardless of duplication of position or whatever. And I'll give you those to start with here. But to me, it's Kevin Garnett. It's Karl Anthony Towns, Kevin Love, and Jimmy Butler.
Okay. I'm in my starting lineup. I'll pivot to this a little bit. I just, like I said, I made a 5-man starting lineup with 2 replacements for each guy. My starting point guard was Sam Cassell. And then I had Ant at the shooting guard, Jimmy Butler.
Oh, wow. Ant's a starter. I love it.
Jimmy Butler at the 3, KG at the 4, and then Karl Anthony Towns at the 5. And then it kind of makes even more sense when you get into my second tiers. But, you know, starting at point guard, because you didn't list one yet, but like that was a little more tricky than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of honorable mentions I included too, but like guys, like I ended up having Chauncey Billups and Ricky Rubio as my other 2 point guards. But I mean, I don't know if you want D'Angelo Russell, Stephon Marbury, Patrick Beverley. There's a lot of guys that didn't make it, but I thought Sam Cassell was like the no brainer starting point guard.
Dude, I actually forgot about I forgot about Pat Bev in this exercise, but you could make it he's not one of the 15 best players in Wolves history, but if you're crafting a roster win, that's yep built to win, mm-hmm, you might throw a Pat Bev on here. So yeah, the second category for me after just the, who are the best players that are just they're on the team in some form is point guards, and then wings and shooters, which I think is historically the biggest weakness of this franchise. That list does not run 10 deep.
Well, how many guys did I look up that were like I think Doug West was one, like defensive awesome, but he was like shooting like 9% from three or something.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, well, I love Doug, but Doug's probably not going to make my roster if I'm trying to win next
year. Yeah, if you were to do a list of, you know, the 15 or 20 most notable players in Wolves history, yeah, there's probably some Doug West love on there, right? There's probably some Pooh Richardson love in there somewhere.
Yep, that was a good one too.
So wings and shooters, and then bigs, and then I also have a fifth category of specialist players, so guys that have one or two recognizable skills that, you know, they're not, again, they're not one of the 15 best players in Wolves history. But Fred Hoiberg is the best 3-point shooter percentage wise in franchise history.
Yep.
Does he deserve a bench spot? Right.
Yep.
So those are kind of the categories I broke it down in. And so you did a depth chart. Explain your depth chart before we get into actually creating this roster.
I'm trying to win one game. I'm trying to win it like, you know, in October, but it's like kind of when these guys were at the peak of their, I would say, Timberwolves powers, you know, because like Chauncey Billups is a good one. Like if you go back and look at what he did in Minnesota, it was pretty mundane. And then his career was made when he was with the Pistons.
So for guys like Chauncey, we only get access to the Wolves version of Chauncey for this exercise. We don't get to tap into the Pistons version of Chauncey, right?
Yes, and that's kind of how I did it. But then there's still like I had a hybrid gray area where it's just like, I still ended up choosing Chauncey over, like I said, the guys like Terrell Brandon or D'Lo, Stephon Marbury. So back to my lineup, I think, and this is where we can start to kind of debate and fight with each other, I don't think you can make any other case for a starting five other than Cassell, Ant, Jimmy, Garnett, and Towns. That starting five can space the floor. That starting five is going to be a monster defensively. And I just think it's kind of like a perfect modern-day lineup. You have everything you want in that. So is that kind of what you did? You didn't have Ant as a starter, did you?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. We match on 80% of our starting lineup here.
Who's starting at the two?
I'll let you try and guess.
I think
he might be starting at the three for me. In fact, he probably is starting at the three for me. Oh, I went with you could go ahead and guess.
Zach LaVine?
No, but I stan huge for Zach LaVine.
Okay.
I was devastated when they chose. This is one of my, I'm wrong a lot. I have a microphone in front of me for our day. first guess at the time I said, are they trading the right player to the Bulls? I might trade Andrew Wiggins and keep Zach LaVine, but.
Zach LaVine just has that like gym rat in him. Okay. So if it's not Zach, I know you're not starting Wiggins, right?
No, in fact, I kind of forgot about him until the end, and that's another great one to discuss. Is you know, are we getting the Warrior? It's confined to you get the Timberwolves version of that player.
So Andrew's not rebounding.
Now, if we get the Warriors version, where he's just a role player on steroids, and now he has discovered rebounding for the first time, dude, he's probably a starter.
Yep,
he's no doubt a starter.
So, but you did start Jimmy, KG, and Karl-Anthony Towns like as your front court or whatever.
Yep.
So I
went with it's going to be technically it's going to be a small forward here. He's going to be playing the three, I think, in this lineup. He is one of the greatest shooters in Timberwolves history. Also, I think was probably underrated as a defensive player. Could also rebound a little bit. Wally Szczerbiak is in my starting lineup.
Yep, he's in my honorable mentions. I was shocked to see, you know, if you go back and look at any of these guys, I was born in 88. You were born, I think, just a couple years before. And look at these, it's hard to look at these guys in the 90s or early 2000s because no one's taking a high volume amount of threes, right? Like Wally shot a really good percentage, but I think he was taking like what, two or three attempts a game, which is probably high for the 90s.
Yeah. He was shooting. So Wally in his Timberwolves career, he shot 46% from three in his only All-Star season. He shot 42% the next year. This is on 2.5 3 attempts per game. And then 44% in the 2003-04 season, where he came off the bench that year because he had the foot problem with Spree as the starter. So in just in terms of spot up 3-point shooters who can also get out, rebound, give you some size, I chose to go Wally Szczerbiak at 6'7". So now my starting lineup is Kevin Garnett. Now I'm a little worried that if they run into like an early 2000s Shaq, that they'd still be screwed like they were in the early 2000s. I mean, every team is pretty much screwed when you run into an early 2000 Shaq. But with this lineup, you get wildly athletic and 7-foot Kevin Garnett, mm-hmm. one of the greatest players of all time. You get the greatest 7-foot shooter of all time in Karl Anthony Towns. And KG can worry about the rim protection and mm-hmm. some of the dirty work, but they can also, you know, they can switch roles a little bit. I get a 6'7" small forward in Wally Szczerbiak, who shoots 40+% from 3-point range. And then I get Jimmy Butler and Sam Cassell, two of the most tenacious, gritty, winning players you're going to find at the one and the two.
A Cassell, Jimmy, KG, like, dude, that's. You have to turn all the mics
grime.
Off.
Oh my
around
God.
The court, because there's gonna be so many swear words and just next level shit talking. One thing that I did when I was doing this, so Wally was on my honorable mentions, but you go back and just look at his basketball reference page. Like, he was really good.
Yes, like, he got a bad rap in part because KG didn't like him. Didn't KG punch him one time at practice?
I think so. Yeah,
and because he was like a 2.5. You know, mm-hmm. he wasn't a true number two Robin to Kevin Garnett.
Yep.
Wally as the number three on a team would have worked really well in the early 2000s, and the Wolves just didn't really have that other guy. Like, Terrell, he came along after Stephon Marbury. Terrell Brandon, I think, was there for maybe a year at the beginning of the Wally run, and then they were kind of in the point guard spin cycle for 2 years before Sam Cassell. So he was elevated to a spot in terms of stature on that team that it was probably a stretch for him to be the number two guy on that team. And that's why people remember him as kind of a, not a disappointment, but just, you know, he's not like the most popular player in Wolves history. Let's put it that way.
And again, like, I don't know in today, like, how he would have defended when he was in his 20s, he probably had a good chance of at least stopping someone. But his shooting percentages were like the thing that stood out when I went back and looked. Like, he was, like you said earlier, like, he shot north of 40% from three. He was almost 50% from the field. Like a 90% free throw shooter. He was probably one, like you said, one of the most underrated Timberwolves, which, again, that's another topic for another day, is just like looking back at some of these lists, and it's like, wow, there are some areas where they never really had good players.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good one. My starting five was Cassell and Jimmy, KG, Towns, and yours was Cassell, Jimmy, Wally, KG, and Towns.
Yes. So, All right. So how much do you want to fight for Anthony Edwards over Wally Szczerbiak in the starting lineup? Because we should lock down the starting lineup before we get to the other 10.
Let's go back to the defense thing. We got to remember, like, I was born in 88, but like, I don't really remember anything before like 2014, because my brain is so small. So I don't really remember how much of a defender he was, but I just think if you had Ant in that starting lineup, and you had Ant and Jimmy on the wings, and what we saw from Ant in year two as a defender, like, I think I took Ant just because of the defensive playmaking or the defensive ability. And then just, you know, he can also make plays, and you're not probably getting any of that from Wally, right? Like, I think he averaged less than 3 assists. So
yeah, I also, when Wally would try to go behind, when he would try to go behind his back, it was like, okay, slow moving semi truck trying to do like parallel park. So he would stop, kind of like dribble the ball behind his back, and then turn around and look forward on the other side. You know, he wasn't the smoothest dribbler. So I think I'm going to agree with you on this. So I mostly wanted to make the point here that Wally Szczerbiak is an underrated Timberwolf. He's one of the 100%. Greatest shooters in Timberwolves history, and he can do more than just spot up shoot. He can defend a little bit. He's got some size. He can rebound. But if you're giving me sort of the playoff version of what we saw from Anthony Edwards, and I get to tap into that along with Jimmy Butler, Sam Cassell, KG Cat, I will agree with you. Let's put Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup.
So this,
let's make it happen.
So we agreed on the starting five. The second five, my third five is just a bunch of guys who are going to wave towels, but are favorites of fans. My second lineup, and again, I was starting to get really nerdy with like mixing and matching rotations, but my second five is Chauncey Billups, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Love, and you're going to hate this, and Rudy Gobert. So I know he hasn't played yet, and I know that that's just everything I just said.
I forgot about putting Gobert in this exercise because he hasn't played yet, but it's a game changer, and we should discuss this.
Because I do think, just kind of looking at that, so again, Billups, LaVine, Wiggins, Kevin Love, Gobert, you have a little defense there. You have some holes, but I just think pairing Gobert and Kevin Love, would have been awesome, right? Because that's like, that's exactly what Kevin Love needed, was a rim protector, and Kevin Love would be spaced out the whole time anyway. So,
okay, this is, yeah, I admittedly, I didn't have Gobert top cheated, of mind yeah. for eligibility, but no, I think he counts. I think he is a Timberwolf right now. We have seen him in Timberwolves garb. We've seen the jersey, and he's going to play at some point. So I'll give you my first five off the bench here. I'm going to put Gobert in it. I agree with you. Gobert, Kevin Love, those are your bigs, second unit.
100%.
That could be a starting tandem there too, the peak version of Kevin Love, which is kind of like what you see. He kind of puts up similar numbers to Cat. Kevin Love and Cat kind of have the similar game, and that they're
yep.
lights. Cat's a little bit better shooter. Kevin Love, maybe a little bit better rebounder. Cat, a much better ball handler. And if you give him the ball at the top of the key, he could probably get to the rack a lot easier than Kevin Love.
Right.
So give me Gobert, Love. And then I went with Wiggins.
Okay.
Wally.
Okay. Yeah.
And Terrell Brandon.
Yeah,
I think Terrell Brandon is also one of the most underrated players in Wolves history. They actually got better after trading Stephon Marbury. They won 50 games in two of the 4 years Terrell Brandon was a starting point guard. He's 5'11", so he's undersized, but wonderful passer, sniper mid-range jump shot. He's kind of like a poor man's Chris Paul from the early 2000s.
There's a good, it just dropped today. It's Tuesday, right? Ryan Russillo did a podcast with Stephon Marbury. It was about that point guard of New York kind of documentary that Kevin Durant was a part of. Mm-hmm. But he was asking Marbury a bunch of different questions. They talked about his time in Minnesota and his exit. But one of the guys that he brought up that was one of the toughest kind of guys for him to play against was Terrell Brandon. So not to concede because you did in the starting lineup, but I think as you work through this exercise, Terrell Brandon probably just a way better answer than Chauncey, especially if we go on their Timberwolves career. Because again, I was kind of shocked almost to go back and see like Billups was so not very good in Minnesota and then just exploded into this, you know, all-star, almost Hall of Famer player with the Pistons. So, okay, I like Terrell Brandon. And then who are your wings?
So we agree for sure on Terrell Brandon, Rudy Gobert, Kevin Love, and I've got Wiggins and Wally. I have the size here again. I've got 6'7", 6'8". I've got 6'10" Kevin Love, and then 7 foot Rudy Gobert with 5'11" Terrell Brandon running the point for this unit.
And, you know, the Rudy Gobert thing, we haven't seen him play. He was wearing a Timberwolves shirt yesterday when he was warming up for France, but I was also kind of like, who else would, you know, honorable mention? Because then my third tier guys are, again, towel waivers. But, you know, like I wasn't going to put Christian Laettner on there. Al Jefferson, like, he's not winning me games, right? He was good. He's probably in the top, I don't know, 25 Timberwolves of all time. But, like,
yeah,
the Kevin Love, Al Jefferson thing, I've seen that before, and it was not fun.
Yeah, so, at one point, I did have one iteration of a bench unit that had Kevin Love and Al Jefferson leading the bench, and then I was like, wait, we've done that. Let's not, we know what that looks like. Let's not do that again.
Well, then I was just like, imagine, like, if you did mix and match these, and this was a real team, like, you had a Gobert-Garnett, like, front court. Like, no one's scoring on that, right? I mean, you might need, like, a Levine in there or something to get you some buckets. But, no, I'm with you on, again, kind of, those second tier or that second five, but it's the third five that I'm going to let you start because that's where it gets completely off the rails.
So we're good on the starters. We're good on the first unit, and now we have five spots left. Okay,
and this is where ageism is going to come into play.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some names. Let's just throw some names out that we haven't talked much about that should be considered here. I'm going to go through my different categories here, and I'm probably missing some guys, but. So again, we have five roster spots left. This is mostly for depth, but I'm looking for some specialized skill sets. I'm looking for leadership. I'm looking for some grit. I might even be looking for someone to wave a towel like Mark Madsen in perfect form with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of a tie game.
He and Sebastian Telfair on my honorary mention, just towel waving things. But anyway, you go.
Okay, so the point guards that we have not talked much about here, Stephon Marbury.
Yep.
Ricky Rubio. Pooh Richardson and Michael Williams from the early and mid 90s. I don't think they make it, but I just want to throw a nod to those guys. Those guys were good, solid early 90s point guards. D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
And Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
Yeah. I might be missing some in here too.
No, I think that hits it looking at my list. Again, the Pat Bev one was like just an honorable mention. I mean, he could fill this slot. I ended up filling that third point guard slot with Rubio because, again, everything you just said, right? Like leadership. Probably would be okay catching a DNP. Like, he's like a nice third point guard to kind of mix in. Like, maybe he, I don't know, Billups gets hurt. And like, You got Rubio with the Gobert love. Like, he would get all those guys their shots. So I like that one. I don't really think there's anyone else you missed, but I think Patrick Beverley has to be just acknowledged because, again, doing this exercise, not a lot of winning, right? Not a lot of success. He's tied to one of the most successful teams in franchise history. So he has to be there.
Yes. So let's. So I also have Ricky Rubio as the third point guard.
Okay.
So we match on this.
We are really good at this.
Leadership guy, a guy that everyone loves. And, you know, the reason why you would consider a Pat Beverley in this situation is because, again, this is not the case, but you add a Pat Beverley to this team if you think that there's too many young guys or not enough leadership. But the beauty of this is we already have Kevin Garnett is Pat Beverley, but Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And he plays a different position. So we already have, and Jimmy Butler is on this team, and Sam Cassell's on this team.
Yep.
So we don't need a leader grinder guy unless there's some other skill set that he doesn't. That the team doesn't have that he accounts for, right?
Right.
So I think between KG, Jimmy Butler, Sam Cassell, and Terrell Brandon, who's the backup point guard on this team, there's no room for Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
So,
but again, if this was 2K, if I could just give you 5 minutes of a rotation of Pat Bev, Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, Garnett, and Gobert, their defensive rating would be just astronomical. But no, I had Rubio as my third guy as well. This is where it completely gets into either specialists or my heart. Who are your wing players on the third right. lineup?
Here's the ones I'm going to give you. So I'll give you the names that we haven't talked much about yet,
and then
we can sort of pick amongst them. I have, by the way, on my list, I have on my among my last five. So Rubio is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have one true wing player.
Okay.
I have one more of a shooting guard, and then I have two bigs left over here, and we'll get to those. But so the wings we haven't really talked much about: Latrell Sprewell, Sam Mitchell.
Yep, honorable mention.
Just a steady, versatile wing player. Not a lot of range in an era where you didn't necessarily need range at that position. But I think a modern day version of Sam Mitchell is just a guy that can. He can slash. He can. Yep. He would probably extend his range in 2022. And a leader, a guy that turned into a head coach, a little bit abrasive as a head coach, but a guy that was kind of a floor general, even though he wasn't a point guard.
Yep.
I don't have him on the team, but I think he's worth mentioning in a conversation about a Wolves all-time 15-man roster.
Okay.
And then I put Corey Brewer on my list of wings and shooters as just a disruptor type. And I also put Trenton Hassel on here for his Good. Wing defense and ability Good. To knock down baseline 17-foot jump shots.
And Trenton Hassel is one that came up to me before I even did research, just because I remember he competed, like he gave Kobe Bryant and like Tracy McGrady during that time, like fits. I don't know if he didn't make my 15 because again, I went with like positive, cheerful guys that will never play, but he was a good one. Another guy I saw too, like there was one Bleacher Report article, is like top 25 Wolves of all time. Ryan Gomes was on the list. I don't know, man. He wouldn't have made my top 75, but maybe I'm just missing something. But
okay, from that era, actually, you know what? A player he's not going to make the 15, and he shouldn't based on the 1 year he played in Minnesota, which was inexplicable. Mike Miller. Mike Miller was one of the biggest anomalies in Timberwolves history, and that they acquire him. And what was that trade? They acquired him. Was that the Theo Ratliff contract trade? I'm trying to remember the exact trade, but they wind up with Mike Miller, one of the best shooters in the NBA, and he refused to shoot with the Timberwolves.
He was on my list only because I knew he'd be happy sitting on the bench because he hated shooting the basketball. I think he's an agent now, too, by the way. He was in Vegas. Like, I think he reps at least one guy, maybe on the team. That was, I don't know if this is a super, super deep dive, but if you remember the Mike Miller year, they had those also really horrendous jerseys with like the blue and the green. Al Jefferson was wearing them.
Yeah.
Like, he's not on my list, but I like to make fun of him. So.
God, he would just pass up these wide open threes and dribble into the paint and kick it out to Johnny Flynn or whoever was on the Wolves roster. Okay, other big men that we haven't talked about much yet. We've mentioned Al Jefferson a little bit. Nikola Pekovic,
yep.
we haven't talked much
yep.
about. One name that hasn't been mentioned at all, and I think he's one of the 15 best Timberwolves, if you just made a list, is Tom Gugliotta.
Yep, he's on the bottom of my honorable mentions. Again, I just didn't know where to put him, but if he's on your third, like, that's totally fine. Because like you said, he is one of the 15 best Timberwolves. I don't really think there's any way to argue it. Did you have any other bigs? I think that kind of
a young Christian Laettner, but I crossed him off because I'm not looking for chemistry issues. I think we're already a little bit combustible here with Cassell and Butler and KG. There's just a lot of personalities and stuff. So I don't need cantankerous, immature Christian Laettner to be adding any fuel to this fire. So
Jimmy Butler, Latrell Sprewell, like Christian Laettner, like three-way fight would just be way too much for even my head coach, Chris Finch, to coach all these guys up. So,
that's right. We got to pick a head coach.
I had no Sprewell. Right. I had no Laettner. Again, I kind of leaked this at the beginning, but I had Taj Gibson, which again, he's not going to be on any list other than like the Wikipedia list of anyone who's ever gotten a paycheck from the Wolves. I just thought, you know, he too had that classic Timberwolves moment where he like strips the guy in the corner when they win game 82. I know that's very minor, but that's also one of the 10 biggest moments in Wolves history. So, and he's just a great teammate. And I think he'd be great to have kind of, if you want to win games, he can come in and give you some good minutes.
So he made my final category, which is specialist skills.
Okay. Yep.
So I have five players in this bin, and I'm probably missing some, but these were the five that stood out. Fred Hoiberg for his spot up 3-point shooting.
He's my backup or my third shooting guard. Yep.
Anthony Peeler also for the same reason, but Hoiberg is a better version of, well, I think Peeler was a better overall player, but Hoiberg was a better shooter. And if we're just looking for a specialized skill set, like Peeler dropped 28 points in a decisive playoff game against the Sonics one time.
Right.
He was always one of my favorite players. I have Taj Gibson on the specialist list for just general grittiness. He's just like, when you think of the grittiest players in the NBA, he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore for me.
100%. And he's a good teammate. Like this is, you want him and you want Rubio and you want Fred Hoiberg. Like all these guys could eventually, Hoiberg is, but all these guys could eventually be coaches. So I think that's another good one. And who is your last one? Because I have that we have not mentioned yet, but you're never going to guess it. So.
Okay. I've floated this name. I have two left here. Mark Madsen for bench chemistry and towel waving.
Yep.
And I also put Eddie Griffin on here because would you believe?
Okay.
He is the franchise leader in blocks per game. He averaged almost two blocks per game in like 15 or 20 minutes per game. Eddie Griffin averaged 4 blocks per 36 minutes in his, 2 or 3 years with the Timberwolves.
Huh. Okay. I did not know that
at
all.
Just a wildly good rim protector. But the fact that Gobert is the leading big off the bench for us means we probably don't need Eddie Griffin. And by the way, tragic ending to Eddie Griffin's story.
So
for another podcast.
Did Brewer make your final five?
So here is my final five. Ricky Rubio. Okay. And by the way, wide open to changing this.
Yep.
Ricky Rubio, Latrell Sprewell, Fred Hoiberg, Taj Gibson.
Okay.
So I also had Taj Gibson.
Look at us.
And then I put either Al Jefferson or Nikola Pekovic for just inside scorer, offensive rebounder, cleanup guy.
Yeah, again, that's another guy to just go back and look up. Like, I think on this Bleacher Report thing, they had Peck at like the 14th best Timberwolf, and you just forget how good he was. I think he would get, if we're playing in October, he's going to just get slaughtered in like pick and roll because he didn't have the fastest feet in the world, but he was also renowned. I mean, you'd ask anyone on any team, like, who's the toughest guy you played against? And they're like, oh, that big Serbian guy from the Timberwolves. So
yeah,
I like him on there. My five, Rubio, Hoiberg, Taj Gibson. I had Corey Brewer because, again, my final five is just all about guys who smile and are great teammates. And then my third string power forward, this is where it went off the rails. He played 64 games for them. He came over at 31 after he had played a year in Russia. But, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I had this thing for the way Andre Kirilenko played basketball.
Oh, I forgot about AK-47.
Extremely awesome nickname. He was also like, I think he started to have some back problems too, and he made his, you know, he made his hay in Utah. I think he played there for 8 or 9 seasons. And I think if he would have played today, he wasn't the greatest 3-point shooter. But I just think he was like one of the classic, like baseball, he was a 5-tool guy. He could do everything. He could play the point. He could protect the rim. He could set up guys. He could rebound. So he might definitely not be the top 50 NBA or Timberwolves players, but he was just awesome. And that's like the one, like, he would be like my Josh Minot now. It's like, okay, we just have this guy on the bench, and if we need to, you know, throw him into the rotation one night, I don't know, man. I just really, really loved him. It was him, or I was going to throw Derek Williams in there and just be like, I still have hope.
Yeah, he crossed my mind. I can't believe I forgot about Andrei Kirilenko. I love this addition. So real quick, just so we can make sure we align. So we've got the starting five. We got the first five off the bench, and we agree on Rubio, Taj Gibson, and Fred Hoiberg. So we actually have quite a few agreements here. And then who are your last two again? So AK-47
and Brewer.
And Corey Brewer. Okay.
You know, the Latrell Sprewell thing, if you kind of just go back and look at it a little bit, like, clearly he was associated with one of the best Timberwolves team ever, but he wasn't like out of this. Like, that wasn't like, I don't think from memory this morning, like, that wasn't like his best year. Like, I just think he was also kind of ornery. And like, if I got Jimmy on the team, those guys are like, Latrell Sprewell is going to think he's better than Jimmy. So I was just like, I don't need anyone. Like, Latrell didn't even show up to practice this morning because he was feeding his family. So yeah. I put Corey in that spot.
I like the way you're looking at this. I think I probably fell in. I'm with you. I'm not going to fight for Latrell Sprewell, to be honest. I'm not going to reach across and choke you to put Latrell Sprewell on the team.
Yeah, I was looking out for Finch too. I didn't want him to hurt Finch.
Exactly. I'm just looking up Andrei Kirilenko's, because again, we don't get the Utah version of Kirilenko.
Nope.
We get the Timberwolves version. And even the Timberwolves version was a pretty good role player. So 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a half, a block, all in 32 minutes. He shot 51% from the field. He's never been a great three-point shooter, but just a good slashing player. And in terms of advanced metrics, he was, let's see here, 0.142 win shares per 48, which means nothing to the audience, but that is a well above average NBA player per 48 in terms of win shares, and a PER of 17.6. So the advanced metrics, yeah, I mean, in the eye test, he was just a good, gangly, versatile player with a hall pass. So,
They got, you know, his basketball reference page is wild too, because he doesn't play those first couple of years. He was in Russia, gives his all to Utah for like a decade, then goes back to Russia. And I'll have to look this up. This is great research by me, but I don't know who was running the team at the time, but yeah, they pulled Kirilenko back from Russia for a year. He gave them, like you said, 12-6, and then he went to Brooklyn, and then, because I think Prokhorov must have been running the team then, and then he just completely fell off a cliff, like 5 points, 2 rebounds. But I don't know, man, I just thought with like the front court of Garnett and Towns and Love and Gobert, like sprinkling in Kirilenko every once in a while would have been, you look at our 15-man lineup that we pretty much agree on, he is the one guy that is completely different from everyone else on the team. So that's why I thought he would be a good edit.
So he's in now. We have one spot left. I know that you're pining for Brewer. I had either Latrell Sprewell or Al Jefferson / Nikola Pekovic. I think you make a good point about today's NBA has really left Al Jefferson and Nikola Pekovic in the dust.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing how fast the NBA has evolved in the last 5 or 6 years. Those guys, yeah, they're just, they can't make a shot outside of about, you know, 10 feet from the hoop. And there's also, I think with Pekovic, there's just major injury concerns up and down there too. Mm-hmm. So those guys, they bring great skill sets for the eras that they played in, but I'm willing to say goodbye to those guys. It's funny because I actually think Tom Gugliotta's skill set translates better to today's NBA than either of those other two guys. He wasn't a great three-point shooter, but he could at least space the floor a little bit compared to those two guys.
So before we fill this 15 spot, because I think we got to throw it back to something I didn't know about you, but we had a starting five we agreed on: Sam Cassell, Ant, Jimmy, Garnett, Towns. The second five was Terrell Brandon, Wally, Wiggins, Kevin Love, and Gobert. Mm-hmm. So in that third five is Rubio and Hoiberg, Kirilenko and Gibson, and then I think we have to plug them in here. This is the Zach LaVine spot, if you're a big fan, right? Like this, he would be the 15th guy on our roster. He would be a 2 or a 3, but I think he would replace Sprewell or Brewer because, again, that I'm with you. Like, he was one of my favorite players, and it's sad that, like, we didn't get to see him. And, I mean, he kind of reminds me of, like, what Ant is now. But, like, he was just the athletic, super fun guy that was just a great person in the community, was a gym rat. So that would be, I think, our 15th guy is to put LaVine in there.
I love it, dude. I think this is great. Just to flip this conversation inside out for a second, we're gonna put this out. We're gonna put this podcast out. We'll make a fun shiny graphic for social media, and we will We will put our co-stamp on this. We have gone into a basketball war room here, and we have put together our ideal Wolves 15-man roster. And inevitably, people are going to fight over, why wasn't this player on here? How could you leave this player off? So I'm going to throw some names out you, and we've talked about all these guys. I'm going to throw some names at you and say, are you okay with listeners or people in the Timberwolves Twitter sphere saying, hey, Kyle, hey, dumbass, how can you leave blank player off of this list? So fill in that blank with Stephon Marbury is not on this roster. Justify it.
Again, so this is where we have to go back to like the first line of the syllabus. I'm trying to literally build a 15-man roster that is like also likes each other, mm-hmm. takes the same plane to and from playoff games, right? Like,
yep.
So I had a moment this morning before the coffee where Jimmy Butler wasn't on my roster just because, again, like the way he exited. But then you started to look at like, okay, he has to be there. And then what he brings to this, you know, dream starting five.
But he can't. But if we want to take that theory and that concept to the nth degree, then he can't really be on the team with Cat, right?
Yes, exactly. So you could pull him out. The Steph thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. Steph was a little before my brain started to work. But like, I guess you would just say him over Rubio. But you know, those Rubio years, man. Like before he tore up his knee, like he was really, really exciting. He was the type of guy you'd want to put into a roster like that because. Again, too, you look at this. There's so many athletes on this team with mm-hmm. Gobert and Levine and Wiggins and like a young Terrell Brandon and Ant. So I don't know, man. He didn't come up. I'm glad you mentioned him again, but are you putting him in the 15, Stephon Marbury?
I didn't have him in my original 15, and we combined to both not have him in our 15. But he mm-hmm. is the number one name that people are going to be like, okay, come on, guys. This is the Timberwolves history we were talking about. And the mental gymnastics needed to leave Stephon Marbury Timberwolves 15-man roster.
I guess what you would do then is who
would he replace? And I think the options would be, and I'm not saying we should or have to. I'm just talking through this with you because you know we're gonna get smoked on social media for this. So would he replace Fred Hoiberg or Zach LaVine?
I think he'd probably replace Hoiberg, and also too again my video game brain. Like imagine like a Stephon Marbury, Anthony Edwards backcourt. Like that would have been a ton of fun. Or imagine like Patrick Beverley backing up Stephon Marbury. I had like 20 guys listed for honorable mention. And I think when you look at it, he is like hands down the 16th player. And he could be in the 15, but I think it's Stephon Marbury over D'Lo, right? Like I think
how about this? What if we said, because we need to align our talking point here. We need to be fully aligned when people throw rocks at. Okay. My biggest reason for not wanting Stephon Marbury on this team is, number one, he, for whatever reason, decided that he wanted to leave a Timberwolves team that was ready to blow up and become the next Utah Jazz, right, in the Western Conference. So that, to me, is a bigger scar. Like, Jimmy and Kat, guys, figure it out, guys. Sorry, you guys don't have to ride the bus together, but figure it out on the court, okay?
Right.
The Marbury thing is, like, he forced his way out of an amazing situation. You could say, well, Jimmy Butler did too, but I think it was the beginning of something so magical for Timberwolves fans that had waited a decade for this team to be a winning basketball team, and he ruined it.
Right.
And so his punishment for ruining that is he does not get to show up on this all-time 15-man Wolves roster.
Right. No, I'm with you on that too. And like, you can take Jimmy out and still make this whole exercise work pretty well, right? Like you would just shift in. I think you and I would just start Ant and Wally then. You have Wiggins behind him. So I think there's some nuance to this and you just perfectly executed it. Like Jimmy's thing was just different than what Stephon Marbury's thing was. And I think one of those guys can be on the list and one of those guys can't.
Okay. Latrell Sprewell. I'm just, if there's anything here that you feel like warrants explanation for why they're not on the list, you shout it out. Corey Brewer. No one's going to care too much there. Al Jefferson, Tom Gugliotta.
That one stings a little bit, but again, just like any of these things, like someone has to not make it, right? Like when mm-hmm. you have the March Madness 68 teams, like the 70th team is going to be pissed off. So Googs, very good. You said top 15 Wolves player, but that's not the exercise. So I'm okay not having him on.
And then Nikola Pekovic, we already talked about that and why he's on the team. Mark Madsen, man, this kind of stings a little bit. I feel like there's got to be a bench spot for just the brilliance of, and you know what, if the season goes sideways and you need someone to come in and help you tank games at the end by jacking up 7 3-pointers, Mark Madsen's the guy, man. Do you remember that at the end of the 2005, 2004-5 season? And KG sat the last, or maybe it was the year after, but KG sat the last five or six games. And the Wolves put Mark Madsen into one of those games as, I think, a starter. And they told him, shoot as many threes as you want. He shot like seven or eight threes in a game off the backboard, you know, out of bounds, because they were trying to lose.
He would start 30 games a year for Sam Presti's Thunder now. Like after Valentine's Day, he would just be like, big, hey, we're running everything through you and Poku, and this is what we're going to do. So go back to this Bleacher Report thing, because there's one name, I don't think we've mentioned him. I have no recollection of him because I think he played in 89. His best season was 89 to 90. Do you remember Tony Campbell?
Yeah, Tony Campbell was one of the founding fathers of those Timberwolves teams.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I think, in the same breath as like Pooh Richardson, Michael Williams, like the first 5 years, 6 years of the Timberwolves. Tony Campbell was one of the, I think, highest usage players of the early Timberwolves.
Okay.
So, worth mentioning for sure.
And like I said, in 89-90, he averaged like 24 and 6. The one staple, again, we're starting to talk about like off the court stuff with Marbury and stuff, but if we're trying to win now, I just kind of didn't, I mean, you know, Trenton Hassel, Terry Porter, Doug West, like all these guys are great, but like I need guys that can shoot. And I think that's the one thing you'll look at our roster. It's like we got 3-point shooters. Because if we're doing this in October, you got to have guys that can spread the floor. So,
Yeah. Dude, I think we got it. All right, so here it is to recap.
Yep.
This is the official Phil and Kyle Flagrant Howls all-time Timberwolves 15-man roster built for winning games, not just a ranking of the top 15 players. The starting five: Kevin Garnett, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, Sam Cassell. The first five off the bench: Rudy Gobert, Kevin Love, Andrew Wiggins, Wally Szczerbiak, Terrell Brandon. And then your last five: Ricky Rubio, Fred Hoiberg, Andre Kirilenko, Taj Gibson, and Zach LaVine.
And if you have any problem with it, you got to have a problem with the first two, because like you said, we could mix and match those last five guys. But I go back to what we said at the top. That starting five: Cassell, Ant, Jimmy, KG, and Towns. Is, I don't know how you change any of that. That's just like that's the best starting five of all time in Timberwolves lore.
Yeah. So there it is. Let us know what you think. Tell us we're idiots. Fight for your favorite snub.
This was fun, but this is also really hard, because like you said, you start like attaching yourself to like a guy like Corey Brewer, but like he's not going to fit on this. But I'm glad I stumped you with the AK-47 one, because it made me so sad that we only got like 60 some games of him. He was just, he would make $120 million like in today's day. He would just be such a perfect kind of tweener 3-4 to have on any team.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, hit us up in the YouTube comment section on the Score North YouTube channel, or you can always tweet at us. You can see Kyle's handle on the YouTube channel at Kyle Tige. I am at Phil Mackey, and this has been another episode of Flagrant Howls, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.